This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from the Tantalk Radio Network studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This half hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They are my intellectual property lawyers, and they should be yours. Well, this is so much fun today. I have in the studio with me one of my favorite authors, Sue Kochman, whose book, Sam, is available at Miami Avenue Book Nook. But she's come out with a fantastic new book just in time for Christmas, and it's called Mason's This and That Day. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Good morning, Patsy.
Oh, wow. It's so great to have you here in the studio with me. I love your new book.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Oh, well, it's just fantastic. I know that it's always exciting to have a new book come out, and this is the perfect time for it.
Yes. The season to buy gifts for all your friends and loved ones.
Exactly. And there is no better gift than a book. It just is something that I know that I treasure books that I received years ago. I was just recently reading a book that my sister gave me, like, quite a few years ago. And I'm looking at it and say, wow, this is fantastic. And I just love to have books. And they are a treasured gift.
Yes, they are. I still collect kids' books. I give books to my kids who are grown adults now. For Christmas, I still do it. My friends, I love books.
Well, it is a time of the year where you want to share the things that you enjoy. And reading is, of course, one of the things that we can share with everyone. And I want to talk to you first about where did you get the idea for this book? And it's just so cute. And what I like about it, I like children's books where they do not talk down to the children. You have a nice vocabulary. It's a rich vocabulary. And you don't use just little words, you know. So I like that. It challenges the young reader. And they learn these words. When they read them, you know, and I'm sure this book is one of those books that kids will read over and over.
I hope so. As a former teacher, elementary school teacher and a principal in elementary education, I'm a firm believer in reading aloud to children, even infants. Most of our children come to school unprepared. They don't have the vocabulary necessary, and they need to be good listeners. Listening comprehension comes before reading comprehension and writing words. And so Mason came to me because I think we can all relate to this lovable, cute little boy who's very unique. And I think adults are like Mason also. And it just came to me. He came to me just because of observing people and myself and my colleagues and what we do in a day.
Well, Mason gets into a lot of things in the day, which is fun. That's part of the fun of the book. And I part of the fun of life is to do lots of things.
Yes, he is so fun-loving. He has so many ideas of what he wants to do. He cannot stay focused, and he tries a little bit of this and a little bit of that all throughout the day, and he tries to make a decision about what to do, and he just can't do it.
Okay. Why not? Why do you have to make a decision? Why not just keep trying? That's what I think.
I think he's overwhelmed with so many possibilities, and I think we are also.
Exactly. And so that's, I think, you know, people say, well, just do one thing or sit down and do one thing. And I've never liked that. For myself, you know, I will be doing something. I will be even reading. I have to say this. It's a terrible thing. One of my favorite books, and certainly one of my favorite books of the year, is called A Gentleman in Moscow. And I found myself, every time I got to a part where he was talking about food, coffee, tea, whatever, I got up and, boy, I had to cook something. So it's just
the power of suggestion.
Exactly. Now, Mason, turned out you you have lovely illustrations in this book, and that's important in a children's book to have great illustrations. And wow, they're nice.
Yes, thank you. This book by illustrated by Linda Cohen was very, very cool because she's from Australia. She's an artist from Australia, and I purchased a child's book that she had illustrated, and I had mentioned to my publisher that I really liked her work for this particular character. And so my publisher got a hold of her for me, and she did this work.
Well, isn't it amazing? Here you are. We're in Florida. You're writing in Florida, and you come out with this lovely story, but the illustrations from a previous book are in your mind, and you get the illustrator.
Yeah.
Was she thrilled?
She was thrilled. I hope she was thrilled. She was so fun to work for, or I should say work with. We had very minimal changes in the artwork. She was that accurate, and she could pretty much get in my mind when I explained what I wanted on the page. And she was very easy. She does beautiful work, and I would actually love to go to Australia and meet her.
Oh, well, sounds like another adventure for you.
Sounds like another book story.
Exactly. I was just going to say, that's a book story in itself. Oh, boy. Sue goes to Australia.
In the world is Sue?
That's right. Wow. That will be a fun book. Now, you know, many authors will be interested in this because so many children's authors, and if you're working actually with big publishing houses, you hand in your story. And I talked to some children's authors, and they actually couldn't believe it, that, like, they have to give up the words and they have no control of the illustrations. And it's a scary thing. Now, you always, of course, have to trust in your publisher, but to be able to actually work with the illustrator, I think, is great.
Yeah, it really is. And like I said, my vocabulary goes across the board in all of my books, even though I write kids' books, and I write picture books for older kids, too, third, fourth, and fifth graders, even sixth graders that may be a little bit struggling readers. These are all appropriate for, and I do that deliberately. Kids need good vocabulary in their minds.
Well, you've done it with this one, and that's the teacher in her. She wants to help kids, and she wants to see that fantastic development of their mind.
Yes, I do, and I really want the kids to be able to pick up a book and read it more than once, because another intention I have with the way I write my books is I want the children and the adults to relate to the person in it. It's a realistic situation, and everybody goes through what's in every story I write. And I want them to be able to go, wow, am I like that person? Am I not like that person? Can I be like that person if it's a good model for them? Or should I change something about myself? Do I do this? Do I have with Mason's story here, Mason's this and that day, do I have trouble making decisions? Am I trying to take on too much in one day?
Maybe, but that's the fun of the story. And I think that's why kids will read it over and over. And I love, of course, the ending. I won't give it away because people have to get this book. It's called Mason's This and That Day, and it is available where?
They can purchase it from me if they want autograph copies at Sue, S-U-E, Koch, K-O-T-C-H, 11, the number 11, at gmail.com. That's my personal Gmail right now. SueKoch11@gmail.com. Or they can reach me on Facebook, Sue Kochman on Facebook.
Well, it's a wonderful book for children and for adults. And I think that's always the telling thing, because when parents can't relate to a book, they tend not to get involved with the child in the discussion of the book. And in this case, I have a feeling that when parents get to the end, they're going to say, oh, well, I've got something here, something I can talk to my kid about, and something that we can read again and actually relive again.
And we learn from children. That's another piece that is so important to me. If you just observe and pay attention to what children say and young adults say and how they act to you and with you, a lot of my story ideas come from conversations that I've had with someone. All of a sudden it dawns on me, wow, wait a minute, that's a good piece.
Wow. So now, of course, writing came to you after you retired as a principal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so you, yes, ma'am, is that cute? I love it. And as I told you at that time when you were here before, teachers are so very, very important to children, and I just wish they would always feel that wonderful, wonderful feeling that they can create in a child.
Absolutely. And when you're sitting down curled up on the couch or in a bed with your kid reading stories, that's a very good bonding time. And I don't think the parents need to say to themselves, well, I'm too busy. I need to do another load of laundry. The laundry can wait. The fingerprints on the windows, my mother used to say, can wait.
Oh, yeah.
You need to spend the time
with your
kids.
And the dirty dishes, too. Forget them.
Yeah, and I think it's so important for them to, like I said earlier, listening comprehension comes first. And they can't understand written words or the language until they have a lot of that. They should be reading to their infants, even though I know they're little wiggle worms.
No, from the moment my sons were born, I was reading to them. And actually, that's how I came from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We didn't have we had a very simple life, to put it mildly. We weren't very rich. And one of the things, my fondest memory, is my mother reading comic books to us when we were, that's how I learned to read. I was reading certainly by the time I was three, because she would run her fingers along as she read the comic books. And all of us kids, we just learned, people say, well, did you learn to read so young? And it was just because my mother read those books over and over to us, and we followed her finger as she went through the stories, and she'd read them over and over. And because in those days it was very exciting for us to be able to get a comic book a week if we were really good.
Yes.
And that's the way to do it, to read at a young age.
And I bet your mom was an avid reader.
Oh, yes.
See,
yes.
Readers make readers.
Exactly.
The people that are the best readers are the readers that read the most.
Exactly. And it was so funny. I think, well, having, you know, just followed along and learned to read, my first book, my first actual full book I read, I think, and this was rather shocking to her at the time, and I was less than 5 years old, and I read one of her Perry Mason books.
Ooh.
And I read the whole book. And
you skipped Nancy Drew and went to Perry Mason?
I skipped Nancy Drew and went to Perry Mason. And it was so shocking. I mean, and I remember at the time, she, like, to the neighbor woman, didn't believe that I read the book. And no, I read the entire book. But that's because the words came so easily.
That's amazing.
And so it's led to a life of reading over 10,000 books and led to this radio show, because that's what I love to do, and to see that joy on paper.
I think it's beautiful, and I'm very happy that you've invited me here to give me some exposure, too. It's really important that people, you know, you don't feel like you're working at all. I know I'm retired, but I'm very busy, and I'm working by writing books. But when you have a passion for something like this, it's more fun than anything else, and you meet the most unique people. Writers
absolutely
are so unique.
And they come from every walk of life. It's amazing. I love when someone retires and they sort of have had in the back of their mind, well, I want to write a book, maybe I'll write a book, and then they actually sit down and do it. And we've had some, you know, wonderful, wonderful guests on this program, like Gino Bardi, who wrote A Cow in the Doorway. He started writing after he retired. He's, you know, almost approaching 70, and he sits down and he writes this fantastic book. And James McGee, who writes all the trivia books. I don't know if you've read them yet. These are fantastic books. He has a whole series of books that he's done the research. It's kept his mind active. He's retired. He never thought he was going to be, you know, a big writer. Now he's got like 35 books or something like that.
That's incredible.
And this is the wonderful thing about writing. It's there if we sort of prepare. The best preparation for writing is to be a good reader. So if you've been reading over the years, even if you haven't been writing, when the time comes, when you retire, when you have that extra time and the kids are away, you don't have to, you know, wake up and get to work, you can now use that time to keep your mind active.
Absolutely. And you can walk on the beach and come up with an idea. you know, any situation. You can go to the mall during the holiday madness shopping and come up with probably 50 different personalities for a character in a book, like with 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And just to get in the habit of sitting down and writing mm-hmm. them.
Keep a journal, keep a little, I always, when I go to the classrooms and talk to the kids, I like to tell them to keep a little journal in their backpack or their pocket, and they look at me like I'm crazy, because, you know, I'm not saying to use their little cell phone to play uh-huh. games or anything. I'm saying, no, keep a little mini notebook in there, and when you come up with an idea, you think of something funny or a phrase or something you've observed or a new word you heard or learned, write it down in your little journal, because it may come up some other time when you need to write something for your teacher. And I remember I was in a third grade class last year, and I told the kids a story, and I saw the teacher at another book talk, because us authors, we like to go around to everybody's book talks and listen to each other. And she came, and she said, "Miss Kochman, a little girl in my classroom came in the door the very next day. She said, I did it. She said, "You did what?" She says, "I took my notebook with me, and I came up with an idea to write about last night."
Oh, that's exciting.
So that's pretty cool.
And very, very rewarding. Now, do you belong to some writers groups?
I belong to the Bay Area Professional Writers Guild. Wonderful, wonderful group of people. Carol Perry, I believe, has been on your show.
Oh, yes.
Carol's very, very active in the group, has helped me a lot. We probably can write a book together about how one of my books, Sam, came about again for the second revision. It's just a great group of people. That's the only one I belong to right now.
Harris is another member.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And as a matter of fact, the group just came out with a great anthology.
Yes, we did. And I would really recommend it. I don't know if they're going to do free downloads again, but I knew that December 1st through the 3rd, it's passed now, but Sink or Swim is the name of the anthology book put out by the Bay Area Professional Writers Guild. And you were able to go online and download that book for free. I don't know if they're going to do it again.
But it's worth the money.
It's worth the,
it's worth the money.
$8 or $10?
Yeah.
It's a great book. It's challenges. It's true stories. It's really nice. And I believe it's going to be in the Book Nook also.
Yes.
At the Miami Avenue Cafe.
Uh-huh.
They need to go by there, Indian Rocks Beach, and check that out. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
Local people.
That's a wonderful thing. And Miami Avenue Book Nook is... really was inspired by all of the authors that I had coming into the program, and I'd say, "Wow, I want, you know, to be able to send somebody by your book just today, don't wait." And so Bev Malley, the owner, has kindly set up a beautiful area for us to keep. I think we are now up to 35 local authors, and it's fantastic.
And it's also, the art gallery is beautiful.
Oh, isn't it? Oh, lovely.
And the evening activities that she has, if the people check out her website, they can see what other things are available. I think she's got karaoke.
Tuesday night is karaoke. Tuesday? I have not been brave enough to get it. But I actually would have gotten up, and I went on a Tuesday night. But, there were too many women already had selected Crazy, which is my favorite song.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, my boys sort of made it my theme song. they didn't have any Janis Joplin. And if she had Janis Joplin, I would have gotten up, and because all I need to do is hear Janis Joplin, and I'm up.
Oh, you're brave.
Because I was fortunate enough to know her. So you might find me there on a Tuesday if they bring back Janis Joplin. But on the other nights, it's the only place around here where you can dance. And on Friday and Saturday night, to see all the couples there dancing, it's just delightful, and just a perfect place for, you know, to get away from the television, to get away from, well, shall we say, politics. I mean, we are sort of overloaded, and just mm-hmm. to relax with friends, it's a fantastic place. And of course, we have all of our local authors there. So what's coming up for you next? Are you working on another Mason book?
I don't have another Mason book, but I have another book called Helping Hands that I'm looking for an agent or a publisher to help me with that one. I want to go traditional, I think, this time, just to see the difference. I'm a learner, and uh-huh. I like to learn new things. And it's a story about things that children can do to make the world a better place. And I tie in a lot of volunteer types of situations and caring and helping each other and three kids make a friendship that are kind of unlikely sorts.
Ah.
And that's about all I'm going to say about that one.
That
so I'm waiting on that one.
Well, you have to listen. And in January, I'm going to have actually a program devoted entirely to children's agents who are going to come on and to talk about what they're looking for in authors and their suggestions on how to proceed and get recognized by an agent and to get chosen by an agent. So that's going to be a very special program that you'll and anybody who's working on a children's book, a young adult, and picture books also. I have two agents who specialize in picture books, and they're going to be on, and that's going to be in the end of January.
So. Oh, that'll be wonderful. And I know if anyone out there listening would like to meet me, yeah. I'm having an author talk, and Mason Books will be available, plus my other books, With Love from Grandma, With Love from Grandpa and Sam, at the Gulf Beach Library, the Gulf Beach's Library, Madeira Beach, on December 13th.
Okay.
From 4 to 7 p.m.
All right. This is a fantastic.
So if they want to come down and meet me and check out my books for gifts for the holidays and, you know, Christmas gifts and Hanukkah gifts or whatever they celebrate, they should come on down.
Okay, and I think she's going to have some of her Sam t-shirts for sale, and those are delightful, and they have very little clever sayings on them, and a wonderful opportunity to meet Sue Kochman and just to see her and get some of her books. And again, let's repeat that for everybody. It's at Madeira Beach.
Madeira Beach is the Gulf Beaches Library. 200 Municipal Way in Madeira Beach.
Okay.
And I'll be there December 13th from 4 to 7. They can kind of come in and out, and there will be some snacks.
Okay.
It'll be a fun night.
Okay, perfect time to pick up a gift for Christmas or Hanukkah. So I highly recommend it. I'm going to pop in, as a matter of fact.
Great. I'd love to see you there.
I have to get a couple of these T-shirts for some of the kids in our lives. So.
Well, you know, it's amazing. And thank God we have the opportunity to do these things and help each other.
Absolutely.
And share what we know with people.
Well, thank you so much, Sue, for coming in today.
I appreciate it, Patsy.
Okay.
Anytime.
Okay. Well, it's just been wonderful to have Sue in the studio. And I'm going to talk more. I'll remind everybody about this event on the 13th again. And just thank you so much for coming in, and have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. And give your son a hug for me. Now, does that sound strange that I want a hug? I want a real hug. And you have to bring him in because I am a baseball nut. And of course, your son is?
Casey Kochman.
Casey Kochman. And he's just he's gorgeous and he's just delightful. And a professional baseball player.
And my daughter, Crystal Kochman Giardina, has a marketing company and an event company. It's called CKG and Associates, and I'm hoping that she's going to be able to eventually do an author thing for us, too.
Okay.
We just need a location, may be the Miami place.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much. Okay. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Sue. Okay, we'll take a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to come back with a real American hero.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Looking for a good book? Then get over to Miami Avenue Book Nook in Indian Rocks Beach. Check out the latest books from local authors like Angela Hunt, who wrote the book for the film Risen, or Bonsu Brenvick, whose books preserve the memories of the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel. What do you enjoy reading? A thriller? A romance? How about a mystery or a sci-fi? At the Book Nook, you'll find it all. Remember, one of the joys of life is to read. Located in Indian Rocks Beach, look for the blue building with the mermaid on the side on the corner of Miami Avenue and 2nd Street, two blocks south of the post office. Open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, noon to 4. And don't forget, while you're there, check out Miami Avenue's great collection of Florida wines, local art, and fantastic gifts. Miami Avenue Book Nook, where you will be inspired to read.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with a real American hero. And I could listen to that song every day because there is nothing like a Marine. Hi, my guest is Johnny M. Clark, a real American hero. Hi, Johnny.
Hi.
Well, don't look so shy about it. Johnny was awarded the Silver Star and 3 Purple Hearts and a few other battle medals in there, right?
Yeah, a couple more.
Oh, it's so cute. Marines get so shy. It doesn't matter how many years they've been out of the Marines, they still get shy when you talk about them. I love it. You know, all you have to do is say Marine Barracks, Hawaii, to be reminded of what the Marines do and what the importance of the Marines in our life. Of course, it's wonderful to have Johnny here today, the day before the 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And anybody who has read history, knows history, has family who was involved, knows how important the Marine, of course, the Marine barracks were sort of center to the events that happened all those years ago. So I'm just so happy to have you on the program today to talk about your books and about, you know, all of your service. Of course, you were in the famed 5th Marine Regiment in Vietnam.
Yes.
And what was your role there?
I was a machine gunner.
A machine gunner. And you joined the Marines at 17?
Correct. Yeah.
You didn't wait to be drafted?
No.
You just said, I'm going to go.
Yes.
To the Marines. Okay. So that's a nice, brave decision right there. You know, when a 17-year-old says, I'm going to be a Marine. And, wow, what was the life expectancy of a Marine gunner?
Well, they told us in machine gun school that the life expectancy was about 7.5 seconds after a firefight began. And, of course, none of us believed it. You know, we thought there wouldn't be any gunners left, but when we got there, we found out pretty quick that was accurate. Once a firefight began, the war was fought mostly at night, so the only visible target you had was the machine gun because of the tracer rounds. Every 5th round's a tracer round, and so it acts as a big golden arrow pointing right at you. And while I was here, we had no machine gunners in the 5th Marine Regiment rotate home. Spend 13 months and go home. They were all killed or wounded.
Oh, it's it, even today, when you think about Vietnam, and we know all of the horrendous things that went on during those years, it's in many ways it's a miracle that you're here.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And now, three Purple Hearts. That's a lot.
Yeah, I had buddies who had more. My gunnery sergeant had seven, and I had a corporal, an Indian corporal named Swift Eagle, and it was his real name, and he had seven. And so there were a couple of guys with more.
So you took all of your experience, of course, in Vietnam, and you've now written, I think, 8 books?
Yes.
And it's, you know, very... it's fascinating, the stories that you've written, and I was really impressed. I just finished No Better Way to Die, and there was a book previous to that, right?
The Old Corps.
Old Corps. And your main character is just beautifully developed, Jesse Slate. I love this character.
Thanks. I loved him, too. He's based on... You know, real guys. All of them are based on real guys, and a lot of Jesse Slate was based on my old gunnery sergeant, and based on a Marine named Francis Hugh Killeen, who was just a remarkable old Marine from the World War II in Korea.
And now, in this book, No Better Way to Die, I want to say, you know, I always like to read the prologue, because it does say a lot about the author. And that is one of the... It's a short prologue, but it's a brilliant prologue. It's really, really well written. And it sets the stage for the entire story. And I was just so impressed with it. Well, I'm impressed with your writing. You know, when did you start writing? All your life you were writing?
No, not really. I I was least likely to ever write anything. I was a terrible English student at St. Pete High School, and I had injured my back in Vietnam. I had to jump out of a chopper. That pilot had been killed. We were coming in on a hot LZ, and the co-pilot panicked and took off before all the Marines were out, and the machine gun's the last one out. So by the time I hit the ramp, we were about 40 feet up in the air, and so I had to make a long jump with, flak jacket, helmet, 400 rounds of ammo, a 25-pound machine gun, and pack, canteens, grenades. So I landed like an anchor. And my back was never that great after that. And then I became a mailman, and the back, I was delivering books to Haslam's bookstore. And the back popped. That was kind of the end of it. And It took away two jobs at once. I was about to have an accredited course. I teach martial arts, and it was going to be an accredited course at the University of South Florida. And I was working a mailman during the daytime. And so I lost both jobs with one bad back. So I was down for a while, and I told my wife, you know, I'm going to have to come up with another way to make a living here. And I'd had a lot of friends tell me I needed to write about some of the stuff that happened to me in Nam, and I started taking a writing course out of St. Pete College, and it was a course where they would critique 10 pages a week. It was a creative writing course, that, you know, it wasn't for credit, and so it went about 8 weeks. So I would have 10 pages of my book critiqued every week, When the course ended, I would just wait for the next course to start, and I ended up taking that course about 15 times. So I got the whole book critiqued by some good writing instructors. And so me being a writer, it's really that whole book, Guns Up, became a bestseller. But it was the book was a miracle. I mean, it was rejected by every publisher in New York, from New York to California. Every publisher that I could find had rejected it. And at one point, my wife and I had started a Bible study, and in this Bible study, we had memory verses. Well, there was one verse, and I'm sure everybody's got a story like this, but there was one verse that just haunted me, And it was, if you honor God, God will honor you. It was 2 Samuel 2:30. And, well, long story short is I had cuss words in Guns Up because I didn't see any other way to tell a nonfiction true story about what we did in Nam without the dialogue and the way we talked. And, you know, the Marine Corps,
yeah.
Pretty rough group of guys. And so I didn't see any other way to write it at the time without the real dialogue, without the way we talked. But I got so convicted about it, and the book had been rejected for 4 years by every publisher on earth. So I told my wife, I've got to sit down, I've got to take all these words out. And I told my professors at the college, and they both said, you're going to ruin the best war book we've ever read. It's going to sound like Howdy Doody Joins the Marine Corps if you take all the cuss words out of it. And I said, I can't help it. I'm going to have to do it. Well, I did. It took 6 months. It was like going to the dentist every day because it's like reliving your war, which is no fun. And but it's within 7 days of that rewrite being finished, I felt like an anchor had been taken off me. And I started sending the book out again. And within a month, I had 9 book publishers who wanted that book. But within 7 days of finishing that book, I started getting phone calls from Soldier of Fortune magazine, Eagle magazine, American Legion magazine. And they're calling me saying, we've got this story that you sent us. And I said, I don't remember sending you a story. And he said, yeah, we just found it in our slush pile. And I said, when did I send you that? I said, I look at the date and I go, oh, he sent it to us 4 years ago. And each publisher, each magazine said the same thing. And I said, so you're just now finding it after 4 years this week. I'm not the smartest Marine that ever came out of Paris Island, but I know when God slaps me upside the head. And so it was a miracle. The book's a miracle. The Lord blessed it. It became a bestseller. They asked me to write other books. And
I think, of course, that's Guns Up, a firsthand account of the Vietnam War. And I think it's been republished how many times?
I think it's in a 35th printing.
35th printing.
Yeah, it was taught at the War College. It's taught in a lot of colleges and high schools, required reading in a lot of places. And the book's just a miracle. It's almost been a movie 3 times. It hasn't happened, but...
But you never know.
You never know.
You never know. Because there are some new war movies coming out, and I think new appreciation for our military, which is fantastic.
I
because
agree.
It is time. I was telling you earlier a story that my father, when I started traveling around the world on my own, the one thing my father said is, if you're ever in trouble, look for a Marine. And one time, this exactly happened. I was in the middle of a little bit of an uprising, and I headed straight for the American Embassy. And there, to see that Marine guard standing there, so beautiful. It's when you're in trouble in a foreign country and you see a Marine, wow! It's something. It's something special. It's like one of the most beautiful visions in the world. So, yeah.
That's great. I mean, I love that story. That's
well,
a great story.
He's blushing because he knows that, just exactly what it feels like to be standing there in that uniform and what it gives the people who are in trouble and who need help to know that the Marines are there. And I was talking about, of course, Pearl Harbor, and the Marines at that time, of course, in the Marine barracks, it was the Marines who were raising the flag at the time when the planes came over. Mm-hmm. And they were the first with the guns. They ran immediately to their stations, and so many of them lost their lives there. And, of course, after that, in all of the battles that went on. So it's just... You know, we owe so much to the Marine Corps.
Well, thanks. It's great to hear. it wasn't long after that the Guadalcanal happened. And the book I gave you there called Gunner's Glory, there's a couple of men in that who tell their stories. They were machine gunners on Guadalcanal, one with Edson's Raiders and the other with the 7th Marine Regiment. And one is Mitchell Page. He won the Medal of Honor. And he's the guy that Hasbro Toys made the G.I. Joe doll after. And he told me both those guys, Ted Elliston and Mitchell Page, they're both gone now. But they told me some of the most incredible stories from Guadalcanal. But a lot of people who don't study history don't realize that if a small group of Marines had not held Bloody Ridge or Edson's Ridge, whatever you want to call it, the ridge that surrounded Henderson Field, if they had not held on to that one ridge, the Japanese would have taken Guadalcanal. They would have taken Henderson Field. We would have lost Guadalcanal, and they would have invaded Australia. And, of course, the next step was California, but they would have taken Australia. So I sometimes I wonder if the people in Australia understand how close they were. It just one machine gun position was left on Bloody Ridge at one point, and Mitchell Page made it to that machine gun. He outran a Japanese soldier and made it to that machine gun and helped hold Edson's Ridge. It's just remarkable stories these guys had. And, you know, I got his story on his deathbed, you know, and he told me a miracle that happened to him on Guadalcanal. He said he couldn't even tell the other guys because they would have, he was afraid they'd think he had shell shock. But he told me an amazing miracle that happened to him on Guadalcanal, and I'm writing about that now in a new book I'm working on.
Well, that's going to be a fantastic story. Now, one of the things you mentioned, taking out the bad language, and so I read No Better Way to Die, and I noticed, of course, that there's not the really, really, really dirty language, which makes it, one, it's very, I think that men who read it can fill in the blanks, but it makes it also accessible to women who might object to bad language, because this is a wonderful story. The story about Jesse Slate and about, I love his, all the characters around him. Like, tell us, for example, about Wing, the Navajo. Brandon. And
he's actually based, you know, that Indian's based on Swift Eagle, my Indian corporal in Vietnam. And it's based on, of course, the Navajo Code Talkers. I did a lot of research on those guys, and they were amazing. But it seems like, you know, when you talk to most Marines, it seems like in every Marine unit, there were some standard issue Marines. And it was always an Irish gunnery sergeant. And it was always some crazy Indian of some sort in your unit. And so, you know, it's hard to write a story about a Marine Corps platoon without having those characters in it. And you know, those are the true stories that make the Marine Corps so colorful. They're, you know, and all those characters really are based on real guys.
And I know, you know, in these politically correct days, we have to say they were Native Americans. But in the book, if we talk about them as Indian, it's not derogatory. I mean, these guys were fantastic. The Navajo code talkers were amazing and so brave. They in so many cases, their work saved the lives of so many.
The Japanese could never break the Navajo code. They never did figure it out. And that, of course, there's a couple of books about it now, but it was top secret stuff until after the war.
It was a clever idea, and these Native Americans really, they went right up to the front lines. I mean, we're talking sometimes past the front lines to get into the positions so that they could report the positions of gun emplacements and troop placements. And you cannot find a braver bunch of guys in the world.
I talked to another Marine he wasn't Navajo. I think he was Cherokee. Anyway, he a Marine, and I told him we couldn't find Swift Eagle after Nam, you know, and everybody was always wondering what happened to him. And he said, well, he probably, a lot of those guys went back to the reservation, you know, after they got out of the Marine Corps. And he said, when the rest of us were being treated so badly, and we were when we came home from Nam, it wasn't, I wasn't home 48 hours, and I was already being hauled off to jail for decking a war protester. He spit on my uniform. So we were treated pretty horribly, but a lot of the Cherokees and Navajos, Apaches, whoever, they would go back to the reservation. And he told me that on the reservation, the first thing a lot of Marines and a lot of Americans did is take their uniform off when we came back from Nam, just to keep from having to get in fights. But not the Indians. They went back to the reservation, and they wore their uniforms proudly. And they actually wore them with their medals. And they were held in high esteem by the tribe and by the entire reservation. So I in some ways, you know, those reservations were a lot more patriotic than the rest of the country was.
Wow, that's, you know, these stories are so important, I think, to keep forward, to let people know about what it was like. And you have written so realistically and so compellingly. And I, as you said, there was a Native American and there was an Irishman. And you write fantastic dialogue. You know, this is a real talent. Some authors can, you know, write descriptive narrative very, very well, which you do. But then dialogue is excellent. Your dialogue is fantastic. It's, when you read one of, you know, this book, one of Johnny's books, the dialogue, it just moves it along. The story moves so nicely. I was right in amongst the story based on the fact that you write beautiful dialogue.
Thanks. It's a great compliment. It really is. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, as we were talking about a movie, so much of it reads like a film script, which is a great compliment from the point of view of wanting a story to move, because it doesn't stop. It just whoop, 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 whoop. It goes, and I love it.
Thanks. Well, it's really fun to talk to somebody who's talking about one of my books other than Guns Up, because it usually, you know, if I do a radio show, a TV show, whatever, and they only want to talk about Guns Up, and they've only read Guns Up. They never read any of the others, you know. So it's really nice to hear something nice about one of the other books.
Well, I think Guns Up is, you know, more autobiographical. I mean, it's,
yes,
your,
it's story.
Story. It's your story, and you're talking about, and you're the main character. But in this case, where you've really developed a unique character, which is always so important in a novel, and all of the people around him are so believable, it shows a real talent. And
thanks
and
a lot.
Is this book available? Is The Old Core and No Better Way to Die available at the Book Nook?
Yes, I think I did bring them. Yeah, they're at the Book Nook.
Okay, well, people should get this book because I didn't read Old Core first. For some reason, I just like the title, No Better Way to Die, and I was intrigued by that. And so I was checking out what should I read, and then I read the prologue to that, and I thought, this is a smart prologue. It captures a feeling. And once I was hooked on the prologue, I couldn't put the book down.
You're making me wonder what the prologue was. I don't remember.
Now, I was going to say, because what happens is, and this is so funny, I did the same thing to Clive Cussler, and I said to him, you know, I really like the prologue. And he's going, what? And I say, Clive, that's one of the best prologues I ever read. Because a lot of times people don't read prologues. It's funny. They like go straight to the first chapter, forget the prologue. And so I'm telling Clive Cussler, that was a great prologue. And I said, you could be king of prologues. And he's like, what? What did I write? and then he realized, you know, and because, of course, I have this ability to remember books that I've read like 20 years ago or something. And of course, he's written in between. He's written like 54 books. And so he'd written like 20 books in between that prologue that I was complimenting him on. And then he went, you know, on the radio show, he wasn't sure. You know, but he was very happy that I was saying that's a great prologue. And then after the show finished and he went back and he read his own prologue, he said, came back to me and said, you know, now that I read it again, you know, I really worked hard on that prologue. I wanted it to capture this feeling of what I was, you know, going to tell in this story. And he was so amazed that I had noticed this prologue. But prologues, so you see, to all you writers out there, a prologue can be a very telling thing. And you might forget it after you write it, because you sometimes you work so hard on the prologue. Oh, I see Big Ed in there shaking his hand. I can't believe it. This time has gone so fast. I've got only 4 minutes left. So I have to just quickly say that I'm so, so grateful that Johnny Clark is here today. I think I'll have to have you back after I read a few more of your books. I'm going to read Old Core next, and then I'm going to read Guns Up. And so maybe you'll come back.
Okay.
And then you can read your prologue, and we can talk about how you came out with such a brilliant prologue, because I just don't have time. And I know you've got some new books coming up, so we have a lot of things to talk about. So you're going to come back, okay?
Okay.
Okay, because this is just wonderful to talk to a real American hero, Johnny Clark. Your books are available everywhere. Where? Amazon, well, Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
And do you have a website?
Haslam's. I have a website, johnnyclark.com.
Johnnyclark.com, so they can all of my listeners can go there and see more about you. Your books are at the Book Nook. Miami Avenue Book Nook in Indian Rocks Beach, and I hope everyone will come down there. This is a perfect place to buy books for gifts for the holidays, and also there's an enormous wine selection. Pick up a bottle of wine, and I just want to thank you so much, Johnny, for being in today. I think I know you're a fine writer, and it's amazing. You know, how you did it, that you just went to a class and were determined, and that's a wonderful thing. So I'm just really grateful for you coming in today, a real American hero, a Marine, and it is so important that we are so grateful. And tomorrow, everybody should just think about what the Marines have done for us over so many years. It's amazing. And I still am always shocked when I hear that at one point they wanted to get rid of the Marines. There was a time. Can you believe it?
Harry Truman almost got rid of us.
Harry Truman wanted to get rid of the Marines. I mean, like, that is insane.
Yeah, they were down to, you know, just, I think, one division left, not even a full division.
And he wanted to get rid of, well, thank goodness and thank God that we have the Marines and that you have, you know.
By the way, my comedy, Section 8, it's about that. Harry Truman trying to get rid of the Marine Corps.
Okay.
It's a comedy, but
it's a comedy. Yeah. Well, fortunately he didn't do it, and fortunately we have the Marines here, and we can honor you. And I'm so grateful for you to come in. And then I want everybody to come back on Thursday. On Thursday I have there's so many. I'll give some more Christmas recommendations. And I have Polly Bauer coming in on Thursday. She's going to be talking about credit cards and her book about credit in general and how to protect yourself. And her book's fascinating. So we'll be talking to her. But meanwhile, again, thank you so much. A Marine hero has been in this studio today, and I'm very proud. So thank you, Johnny, and I hope that everyone will go to your website. And it's Johnny, it doesn't have the M, it's just Johnny Clark.
JohnnyClark.com.
With
J-O-H-N-N-I-E.
N-N-I-E. I wanted to get that in there so people can look for it. Anyway, thank you so much again for being in. And join me again on Thursday at 11 o'clock right here, and we'll talk about how to spend your money for Christmas and spend it wisely, on books mostly. That's one of my recommendations. Bye for now.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
It's time for the Tuesday edition of